point to today, because actually the point of this annual address, I think, is to reflect where we are in terms of school governance, a sort of state of the nation of school governance. It's about reflection, not about us saying this is how we can do things better, but saying have we got things right in the bigger sense? And I did think quite hard about whether it was right to ask Ofsted to come and speak after Matthew from the RSA. But actually, the way their speeches did dovetail together in a number of ways, I actually do think it worked, particularly with Matthew talking about the three types of power and how they are in conflict, or at least contest, with each other. And I think that's exactly how most of us who govern feel almost all of the time. That we do have Ofsted, and indeed regulation, the law, the national curriculum, whatever it may be, over here, casting a shadow. That perhaps sounds a little bit negative, but we don't normally think about Ofsted and feel optimistic at the same time. And yet, we then have the much, much bigger questions about what are we really here to do as guardians of our schools. And indeed, actually, after listening to both Matthew and Mike, I'm wondering whether we should be calling ourselves, you know, guardians of the nation. There were some wonderful quotes that we will be reciting to you through our magazine. You know, things such as the school shaping, the character of our nation, the fact that, you know, our schools are force for enlightenment. Actually, that's why we all volunteer, isn't it? You know, that's why you guys are all here on a Saturday when we have the rest of our lives to be getting on with. And I know that we all, including NGA, we are always checking ourselves, that we are sometimes tempted to go down the route of, I was criticised, for example, recently, for calling our eight elements about being effective governance, that the word effective made it sound all very performance. But there is a huge tension there. And having spent my first couple of years at NGA trying to get us all to understand the data better, and that was important. It is really important we understand what our schools are about. We don't want to become fixated upon that. We need to be looking at those bigger questions about what are our schools here to do? What are our pupils here to learn, and are we enabling those schools and the professionals that lead them to do that? So the word professional that gets thrown around an awful lot at the moment, is there a speech given by the great and the good on governance that doesn't talk about professionalising governance? Well, I want to reclaim that word. I want to say, actually, all of you in this room are professionals when it comes to governance. Actually, you are the experts. You know what governance is there to do. It's darn darn difficult to do it well. I think that came, again, from both of our speakers, didn't it? It's actually phenomenally complex and phenomenally difficult. I mean, some of you may have heard me say it before. Actually, being a governor, which of course I am, and indeed the staff of NGA across the board are, is a darn sight more difficult than being a chief executive. Because actually, as a chief executive, of course I consult and listen to my staff. In fact, it was very interesting hearing Matthew talking about small organisations. We've grown a bit, but we took the decision we're still small enough for all of us to meet together and have those discussions. It's terribly enabling, positive stuff. But actually, when organisations get bigger, it is much harder to do that. But as these professionals, which I think that we are, we have been talking about trying to lift the status of governance for a number of years, probably as long as any of you have been governing. And it hasn't quite worked, despite, for example, the Secretary of State coming out in May to support the launch of the Inspiring Governance Alliance. what did we get our dear old press talking about? You know, come by our Sherry and Hubby. We're not making great progress in terms of lifting our status. And I think we need to be more demanding. We are sometimes a wee bit compliant, I think, as a group of people. So I want us, here we are, challenging our head teachers behind closed doors, or we should be, shouldn't we? Do we actually challenge the system, challenge the status quo as much as we should do? So I wanted to make one small suggestion, and this has developed through something that actually NGAs believe for really rather a long time. But like a lot of the things that we believe, we haven't necessarily been shouting about it. And I've been encouraged to do it by one of our members, who in fact is here today, Ayana, saying, how are we actually going to campaign about this? So I thought, right, we're going to campaign about this because I'm going to say it to all you guys who are incredibly involved, and you're exactly the sort of people who are going to be asked to serve on interim executive boards. IEBs are not the same as pure governing bodies, are they? You know, the clue is in the name. They are an executive board, not a non-exec role. Have you noticed how pretty much everybody is paid on IEBs, apart, in some areas, from the governors? Because the rest of IEBs is usually, what, five-ish of you? Four are going to be educational professionals. Do you see head teachers giving up their fifth day of salary in order to be on an IEB? No, you don't, do you? Do you see the governor expert giving up their day of pay to be on the IEB? Yes, you do. How is that equitable? So what I'm going to say is the next time any of you are asked to be on an IEB, you say, yes, I will, what is the pay? And if they say, actually, I'm not paying, you say, well, I'm sorry, the authority down the road does. And I think we really need to try and get some traction behind that. We've started on the Department for Education already. The department seems to have a most bizarre policy on IEB members. They pay some, but not others. So I think perhaps they ought to have a consistent policy which should fit with their proclamations that we are an incredibly important part of the school accountability system. So that's one little example of where actually we need to start calling time. It's lovely that everybody now says that we're really rather important, but let's see a little bit more action behind that. The second issue that I would really like us to be debating as a governance community, not just as NGA, although our board will be thinking about this over the next year, is where we actually stand on paying chairs of governing boards as well. We need to think about this. There are pros and there are cons. We know that those of you that were at the conference that we ran with Belmas yesterday, we did rehearse this a little bit, and certainly Chris James, professor from the University of Bath, set out very well the reasons for why you don't want to pay governors as a whole. Is there a case for possibly paying chairs because of the additional time commitment that there is? Is the system sustainable without doing that? We also heard from a chair of a multi-academy trust who is spending at least a day a week doing that role. Are we really going to be able to get people who are willing and able to do that without some sort of acknowledgement or compensation? Now, the discussion we need to have is about, is this an honorarium? You know, is it a replacement for salary, which boy could actually mount up? But that's where the discussions are going. And I think we need to engage in that. We can't wait for the Department for Education to be, or indeed, HNCI has views on this subject as well. We don't want those people up there to be telling us what the system should look like. I think we all should be engaging and helping that. And certainly we have been saying, and I'm sure people concur in this room, that the role of chair is so absolutely central. That relationship between the chair and the head teacher is pivotal to school success. So again, we've been saying that, we produce our chair's handbook, we're involved in the chair's development programme.